Welcome to Story Building for Work. This is Section 3, Module 2. In this section, we're really going to focus on getting the story down, dense with detail, and ready to tell. What I want you to do is think about your favorite storyteller or comedian. Maybe it's an uncle or an aunt who tells great stories at family reunions, or a comedian who holds you in suspense for 10 minutes as they deliver their punchline. What makes them so effective and successful? The truth is there's no secret formula for telling a story well, but there are some basic guidelines that can help you deliver your story for maximum effectiveness. And that's really what we want to focus on in this section. The ancient Greeks loved to practice and perfect what they called rhetoric. And that's simply the art of effective, persuasive speaking. And, of course, writing as well. In his work on rhetoric, Aristotle described three elements necessary for an argument, and in our case, a story, to be effective in moving its listeners. And the Greek words for these elements are ethos, logos, and pathos. But in plain English, these elements deal with establishing your credibility, providing clear details, and this one's really important, evoking emotions in your listeners.
And from my experience, the best storytellers know their audience. And to show you are a reliable source and to gain your listeners' trust, we're back to trust, ask yourself the following questions. One, do I actually know my stuff? Or can I appear to? Two, do I project confidence in my words, or can I learn to? And three, do I have the experience and or passion to back up my story, or can I acquire it? And you can't craft a maximally effective story without really understanding your audience. In this case, your stakeholders for your project. So once you understand them, find the commonalities they share and speak directly to those commonalities in your story. And I think that's where comedians are so successful. You know, the really good ones is they know what we all share in common, you know, and they just hit that so well. And, you know, a simple metaphor has great power. You know, for instance, and I'm going to go back to the very first module when we talked about stale mission statements. You know, here's a metaphor for you. Those framed and pocket-sized mission statements are water in the gas tank, causing a collective sputter, eventual stall, and we end up going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone can relate to visual words. So the second essential element is providing strong, accurate details to help create a sturdy grounding texture in your listeners' minds. What is grounding texture? Grounding texture is the rich details and vibrant context that each person creates in his or her own mind when reading or listening to a story. And such texture is unique to his or her own experience of the story. The story they're creating in their mind as they process that grounding texture. So as an example, these examples are more like in a presentation. You know, you've seen presentations where percentages are used, for instance. And right. And the percentage is not personalized. You know, a personalized way to say 20% is 1 out of 5.
Particularly when you're talking about people, right?
Like, exactly.
That makes it like you can almost conjure an image of the person in your head.
Yeah, because, you know, people will always do something like, well, 20.13% of the people. Gosh, you know, I don't want to see that 0.13%. Right. So localize information to your stakeholders. Use analogies or metaphors, you know, but analogies are where you're comparing something else for clarification. And don't forget proper humor. That can really, and I emphasize the word proper humor.
Right.
Okay. Been involved where it was not proper. But anyway, but don't forget humor. Humor is good. And in his book, Tale to Win, Peter Guber says, to be effective, you have to narrate the facts and figures, especially in business. You've got to provide an emotionally propelled vehicle to communicate data to people. Mm-hmm. The last essential element deals with evoking that emotional response in your listeners, sometimes known as tugging the heartstrings. You want your listeners to feel a personal connection to your story so they will buy in. And the key to this element is in the tone of your voice and in the connotations of the words you choose. And it can swing either way, so choose your words very carefully. There's this negative connotation that you want to stay away from, as in, we have to do something about our customer index ratings or we'll be in big trouble. And there's a tone there that's, you know, uncaring, maybe exasperated, and the words convey an image of doom and gloom, and that never helps motivate another person. but a positive connotation, as in, we have an opportunity to come together and create new approaches that, when implemented, can lead us to a better standing with our clients. The tone's more open, more inclusive, and does not ignore the reality of the situation. So if you want your story to have a positive effect, you have to convey a positive attitude throughout. I like to quote someone named Richard Rohr, and one thing he said that I really loved in this respect is, change must begin with positive energy, or the final result is never positive. So remember, as always, to let your desire and intent inform the way you tell your story. Your desire and intent is your positive beginning.
Is it? Now we're getting close here and segueing into our final section. And as we do that, we'd like you to consider the words of William Isaacs from his book, Dialogue. The voice of a group of people is a function of the emerging story among them. The narrative voice, the voice of the storyteller, is unlike that of the rational analytic mind. It does not break things up or categorize. It makes distinctions, but these are always seen as part of a larger weave.